Good morning. Good morning, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. Looking out the window, and it's beautiful out here. Very still, sunny, not too warm. Today's July 19th, 2025. And I'm going to go ahead and get the praise and worship started to begin our time together. Just one second.
Tim always loves us. Who wants and for all freedoms? Whose blood has washed our sins away? And brought us into light of day. To him be the glory, to him be the power, to him be all majesty and all dominion forever. Praise the ever-living one, the one who was and is and is to come, the firstborn from among the dead, almighty and omnipotent. To him be the glory. To him be the power. To him be all majesty and all dominion forever. Tribe on earth will weep aloud before the one who is the first and last. Every knee will bow and tongue confess. To him be the glory. And all dominion forever.
Praise God. Jody, would you open us in prayer, please?
I will. Good morning, everyone. Shabbat Shalom. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, as we have already with praise, to give you glory and honor that you are due. I thank you for your presence with us this morning and ask for your guidance through your Holy Spirit of all that is said, of all that you wish to bring to light. I think about your words this week to me about the word is coming to life, that your word is truly manifesting in the physical realm. How we see things playing out that you have foretold us in your word. And you even took me this morning to the prophecies of David Wilkerson, all those things that he has said that have, many of which have already happened, and even maybe to a greater degree than he even was able to articulate in his, at the time that he said them. But yet many still to come. And so we stand here, Lord, now at this time, as your people. And I think about some of the final words that you said to him, and that we definitely know and need to keep in mind, that you have everything under control. There is nothing new. Nothing that takes you by surprise. And so, Lord, our desire is to walk the path that we speak of all the time, walking your path and walking in the path that you've chosen for each one of us individually. We thank you for each other, that you've brought us all together, that you have knit us together, that you cause our paths to entwine with each other, that you bring your people to you by you, by who we are in you. You bind us and knit us together. So we thank you for this time you have brought us to today, on this wonderful day of rest. And we ask your presence, as I've asked, to light us, guide us, and lead us into all your truth. May everything spoken honor you. In the holy name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Father, we all stand in agreement with the prayer of our sister. One accord. I echo everything that she said. Father, I ask that you anoint my lips. I ask that my ears are very sensitive to you. There are so many things I know that you are speaking to us right now. And Lord, I ask you this morning, what is the thing you want us to know right now that you want us to focus on, to understand and keep before our eyes in the midst of everything swirling? And so, speak those words and anoint the ears of those listening. As my sister very well pointed out, we need you. We are desperate for you. In Jesus' holy name. Wow. Yes, there's so much. There's so much swirling around us right now. I have to admit that it was somewhat difficult for me to settle myself the last few days. Well, all the time. I'm kind of hyper a little bit, and the Lord's working. He's perfecting that which concerns me. Praise the Lord. But I finally said, just what I just mentioned. I said, Lord, with all that's happening around us, what do you want your people to focus on right now? What do you say to them? What do you say to us, to me? And I got a very straightforward message that he's continuing to tell us, you know, to focus on him, to keep our eyes straight ahead. Because if we fail to do that, we may very well get sidetracked. We very well may end up in one of those ditches that we've talked about last week. What a very anointed time. We talked about how God's light, he is light, that in him is no darkness at all. And we talked about how in him was life. And we went through the scriptures, all those scriptures, and that the life was the light of men, and how that light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not overcome it. It couldn't. It can't. We talked about how Jesus is the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world, right? And then we went on to discuss how if one is begotten, if we're a begotten one, the light of Jesus is in you, in me, growing every day as we grow in intimacy with him. That light gets ever brighter, ever brighter. The oil of the anointing filling our lamps. Talked a couple times to various ones, and I remember and talked about this, and I remember that, if I'm not mistaken, Tracy during the prayer call talked about how the anointing of God costs us. Yes, it does. In time, discipline, so many ways it costs us in many ways. But we touched upon last week the time coming when gross darkness will cover the earth and the people. Gross darkness, the people. And I believe that everyone on the call today understands that we're there. We're there now. We've entered this time period, this season. You know, the time of Jacob's trouble, if you will. You hear me quote Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 4 all the time. There's so much more to this, to Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 4, I believe, than many or maybe most know. It's all about identity. And the Lord's asked us over and over the last few years, who are you? I talked about Isaiah 60. But before I touch on that any further, we must understand that the true Israelites have been scattered all over the earth, as prophesied by Moses in Deuteronomy 4, verse 26 to 31. I won't read that now, but it is ever burning in my spirit almost 24/7. Why? Because they, our forefathers, the Israelites, broke covenant with God. I'm raising my hand. You know, I wasn't born in that. I didn't even hear about God, but they mingled, our forefathers, they mingled themselves with the nations and their pagan ways to worship God. They mixed, the Israelites, they mixed the holy with the profane, as it is to this day in the church, what's called the church. They have mixed the holy with the profane. That is not acceptable to God. God is going to bring this world out of that, beginning with his first fruits. Talk about that in a minute. But yes, we've all been part of that, mixing the holy with the profane, as it is to this day. In Israel's scattering over the earth, as he scattered them amongst the nations, and not just the 10 tribes, but Judah, and very few of those from the house of Judah came back, very few. 1 in 10, they did it lots. They didn't want to come out of Babylon. They loved it. And when those that did come out, they brought those ways, the profane, with them. In Israel scattering over the earth, they lost their identity. And they, even now, they believe they're Gentiles. They believe they're Gentiles. And even the world thinks that. And that was all prophesied in the Old Testament. Ah, but God, right? Just as Moses prophesied that if from there, from all being scattered over all the earth, if from there they would repent and be obedient, he would remember his covenant with their forefathers. That's who we're going to talk about for a minute. It wasn't going to be a large group that would do that in the beginning. That's why they're called first fruits. But in Isaiah 60, verse 1 to 4, it's speaking to a future generation of Israelites. I don't know about your Bible, but mine, as a matter of fact, it actually has the heading over the beginning of Isaiah 60. It says, "The Lord's glory rests on Israel." He's speaking to a group of Israelites in our day of gross darkness, that the glory of the Lord would fall upon. And this glory would draw the Gentiles. It's going to draw Gentiles to God. And then, of course, it progresses on into the millennium. But regarding that particular group, you know, we can go into many scriptures that refer to Israel as first fruits unto God. First fruits. And this is coming to mind right now. Please read, if you've not, or reread the post called "You Are Not a Gentile" on the mighty hand of God. Because I don't have time to go through all of that about that. But it's just going through all those scriptures. But first fruits means just that, that they're first to be harvested. It doesn't mean the end of the harvest or any such thing, you know. I was thinking this morning how, I don't know, Tracy, it was a few mornings ago, we were coming back from the post office and we were driving past a neighbor's land, and he grows alfalfa. And I know the man. I've talked to him. I bought alfalfa from him back when I had goats and stuff. But he normally has three gleanings or harvest during his growing season. You know, he has one real early in the spring. He's already cut one. I don't know if he's cut the second one yet or not, but very early in the spring. And then he has one before it gets too hot in the summer. So early summer. And then closer to the fall. A lot of them have a third gleaning, but he normally has three. But God called Israel in his message to Pharaoh. He told Moses to go before Pharaoh and say this. And that's in Exodus 4, verse 22. He called Israel his son and firstborn. He is my son, God says, and firstborn. And there are many more scriptures have to do with this topic, but let's fast forward to Revelation 7. Many more scriptures, though. But it talks about a particular group of Israelites, as we know, who are sealed in their foreheads before horrendous destruction of the earth begins. Now, we see a lot of destruction going on. We see earthquake here, tremors there. We see floods here. We see floods there. But this is nothing like what is going to be breaking out. But it talks about a particular group of Israelites who are sealed in their foreheads before the horrendous destruction of the sixth seal breaks out. And that's talked about in Revelation 6, but John says before all this. Next he saw this. And the angels are told, hold up! Hold up! Wait! Don't do this yet. Until we seal the servants of God in their forehead. I thought about that the other day. I don't know if I mentioned it last week. But that's where we are. I was talking to someone about this. Hold up! Oh, I remember I was talking to John Shorey on the phone. And I said, he's getting a group ready to seal right now. And that's what we were talking about. There's a group he's getting ready. He's perfecting that which concerns him because he has a special assignment on this group, on a group of first fruits. Woo. And in chapter 14, verse 3 to 5, he talks a little bit about that first groups. He describes them. He calls them first fruits unto God and the Lamb who are redeemed, who were redeemed from the earth. We were talking some about that too. Redeemed, what does that mean? Well, they're sealed. Or they go up in spirit and back down because they've got an assignment. Are they coming and going? Now later in Revelation, it's talking about they're described as being on Mount Zion with Jesus. And they go with him. Wherever he goes, they are. Well, at some point, this first fruit groups are going to be seated with him in the heavenly realms at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. And they're going to be operating from that in the spirit realm. Will we come back and forth? Hey, we don't know all the details. But as far as that first fruits group, what God calls them, the various places in scripture, there's much about this topic that we can't get into right now, but it's been laid out on various areas and posts on the website. What's God wanting us to understand right now at this moment? I'm going to first describe what he told me over a week ago while in prayer. Esther and Tracy will remember this because I told them. I just had to let this soak in for a while. I haven't really mentioned much about it, and there's more that I'll mention later. But on July 9th, while in prayer with Esther and Tracy, the Lord said something to me in kind of a backdrop. We'd had some earlier discussions, actually in the prayer call, I think that Thursday morning, if I'm not mistaken, we had also talked about that, the sect of the Nazarenes and what that meant and things. So all this was still, you know, we discussed a little bit about that and talking about how that sect of the Nazarenes, they were Torah keeping followers of Jesus. And that's why those in Judea, the southern area, the Pharisees, Sadducees, all them, they detested them, called them that sect of the Nazarenes, as they accused Paul of being, because they were followers of Jesus, who we know that the so-called Jews did not receive him. So, but with that as the backdrop, a lot going on. But it was during our worship and prayer time that out of the blue, the Lord said this to me, Bikurim Nazareum. He said those two words. And I was worshiping. I was looking at the screen at the time that we have in our front room. But I was looking at the beauty. It was glorious pictures of various sites around the earth. And I hadn't said anything to him about that, those two words. But he said, Bikurim Nazareum. Oh, I remember, guys, just now I remember earlier in the prayer call that day, Johanna had mentioned, oh, thank you, Lord, that I am of the Nazareum. I think that's what she said, something along that line, that we're of the Nazareum. Okay, well, then later that night, as I was just describing, in worship, he said, Bikurim Nazareum. And it's like, whoa. Now I knew what each of those words meant separately because I'd come across them in the word and in the RSTNE. And I've looked up these words separately. They're separately. Okay, bicker. Bicker itself is the singular form of bickering, but bicker is the first fruit, Jesus Christ, you know, the Messiah. It's the very first of the first fruits. That's what bicker means. But bikurim, you can look that up in the glossary of the RSTNE. When that's used, it's first fruits, plural. It's the first fruits offering. And it's speaking, and this is still in the definition, speaking of Torah-keeping disciples in the renewed covenant. Followers of Jesus Christ, this first fruits offering of those Torah keeping disciples in the renewed covenant of Jesus. And Nazareum means believers in Yeshua who keep Torah. Literally means branches. It's branches from him. It's part of him. So it's that first fruit, Bikurim Nazareum, the first fruits offering of those Torah keeping disciples in the renewed covenant, believers in Yeshua who keep Torah, literally the branches. Wow. And then the Holy Spirit, as soon as I put those two words together, he said, this is who you are. I'll insert this. Some of you may have heard me talk about when I was 8 years old, and that was, I was out on the playground, and I was not raised in a Christian home. I didn't know anything about Christians, God, nothing. I didn't know anything. I was on the playground. I was watching from a distance. Some friends of mine, they were kind of like playing tag, as memory serves. They were running around. I was standing off, and I caught a glimpse of my arm. I raised my arm up. And wow, as I looked at my arm, I just, in the fiber of my being, asked, who am I? And then I looked around at all the kids playing on the playground. I said, where am I? And then it's like, how did I get here? That was in my spirit. I didn't say that out loud. 8 years old. For years and years. I mean, every now and then, maybe three times in my life, before I became a Christian, I'd ask somebody I felt kind of close to, a friend, hey, do you know where we are and how we got here? You know, oh no. So anyway, I just want to insert that. God answered that the other night. Vicarium Nazareum. He said, this is who you are. The very first gleaning of are the Vicarium Nazareum. The very first gleaning, guys, doesn't mean that everyone else is not Christians. It doesn't mean that they're not part of the bride per se. I'm pausing there. Are there more of the bride than the 144 first fruit? Are more gathered in that first gleaning than what are used in some of the assignment particular? They don't know. We do know this group, though, is a very small group with a particular assignment. And the next group mentioned after the 144,000 first fruits who were redeemed from the earth, that were Israelites, the very next group mentioned is the innumerable multitude that no man could number who were redeemed, that came through much tribulation. They had their robes purified, right, with fire. But the innumerable multitude, I believe, are the guests at the wedding. But anyway, and I believe, and I know the word of God speaks of a later harvest too, a grape harvest. And I believe they're at the wrath, after the wrath, because right before Jesus touches down on the earth and coming in the clouds, those left of his go up. So at that time. So there's some more that are gleaned in the grape harvest. But there's more to come. It's going to be written in a written form that I'm going to talk about as the Lord's revealed more and more to us. I'm going to put it on the website, and it's called My People of the Covenant. So how to summarize without going any further, what is it that he's wanting us to keep before our eyes in this hour when everything's swirling around us, right? Swirling around this news release, that news release. We know we're right there. Number one, he wants us to know the season that we're in. We better know what season we're in. He wants us to know who we are in Christ Jesus, and all that entails the authority he's given us. This, oh, that is so rich. We can talk about that whenever. We do that all the time, don't we? But to know your identity in Christ Jesus. And number three, know what season we're in. I hope you all know what season you're in. A lot of people don't. A lot of Christians don't. To know who you are, your identity in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm going to throw this in here before number three. To know who you are in Christ Jesus, are you his? Does that mean that you have to be part of that first fruits 144, whatever you want to call? Does it mean everyone is? No. That's an assignment. That's a particular group for assignment. They're first fruits. The Gospel was first preached to the Israelites. That's what Jesus said. I came only to the lost tribes of the house of Israel, the Israelites. That's who the gospel was to go to first. And then as they then after that, the Gentiles, it was opened up to the Gentiles. And then a time comes when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. They've had their chance. It's been broadcast. Then we go back to the Israelites. That's why they're called first fruits, because then those harvests begin. And it was preordained by the Lord, our God, our creator, those that are in the 12 stone covenant, the 12 tribes of Israel. They are put back in. They become activated in the vine. The others were grafted in, Gentiles, yes, many saved, right? Jesus came to unite all. When he was raised up, he said, I will gather and call all men to myself. Everyone who would respond, right? Whether they're Israelites or Gentile, it's open to everyone who will receive. But it goes back, and now he's going to begin the harvest. So know who you are in Christ Jesus. Some people get all hooked up. Well, am I this? Am I that? Well, only God knows who we are, right? Only he knows the assignments he's given. Only he knows the group that you're in, the gleaning that you will be in the harvest. It was predetermined, I believe. And of course, we have to accept. We have free will. But he knows what our decision was going to be. But number three, now as never before, to keep our lamps full of oil, full of that anointing oil. I remember years ago when he woke me up in the middle of the night before he started revealing a lot of things. I was in a big mega church at the time. Woke me up in the middle of the night and said, "Are you ready?" I said, "Ready for what, Lord? Are you ready? I don't know if I'm ready." He said it a third time, "Are you ready?" I said, "Lord, I don't know if I'm ready, but I believe that if I'm not, you'll get me ready." He's telling us right now how to get ready. Keep our lamps full of oil. How do you do that? He's talking to some people, someone. We say, counseling people, things like that. Saying the words, prayer, fasting. All the disciplines, no matter what season you're in, no matter if when you're reading the word, it feels like you can't even remember the last sentence you read. Be obedient. Be obedient. Stay in the word. Stay in prayer. Even if it feels like your prayer's not going past the ceiling, pray anyway. Just talk to him. Tell him your heart. He already knows what's going on with you and me. Just keep on. Keep on, because even if you're going through that dry desert time where you don't hear him, it feels like it, you don't hear him, but you've already heard him. It's already been deposited in your spirit. You're just going through a dry desert time. That time, you're going through a time of testing and trial. You may not feel like you can hear him, like, "God, where are you?" He's still right there. He'll never leave you or forsake you. But the teacher, he's your teacher, everything. And he's quiet. Draw upon what you've already been shown, what you've already been taught, and keep doing that, no matter what. And then he'll bring you back up on that mountain, right? That time of refreshing. He knows we need it before we go back down into the valley. We're being called to walk through the valley, guys, but he's preparing us. He's giving us these trial runs. Be ready. Be ready. Father in heaven, thank you so much, Lord. You are so faithful. When your people were not faithful, when we're not faithful, you are the faithful one. You are always faithful. You're that faithful husband that doesn't give up on his wife, even though she goes out and commits adultery. You kept calling her back. You even ended up having to divorce her, but you still afterwards kept calling her back, beckoning her to return, even after she went out and played the harlot. You made a way back. You sent, you came, and you died for your creation. You died for her. You died for her. You shed your blood that if she will come back, you've made a way for her. You have rent that curtain in two that now she can come back in carrying the blood of the Lamb, the perfect once and for all sacrifice, the blood of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus. She will come in. She will die to self. She will have to come in as a dead woman, just as Jesus came and presented himself to you as that very bicker, that first fruit. So that your people can come back to you. And you will be faithful to remember that covenant that you had with their forefathers. Lishima yukuma yata. Likianatia poshita. Likiamatia poshita. The bickering coming that they are your first fruits. Your firstborn. Bringing the blood of Yeshua. Thank you, Father. We have your promises. We have the glory, the promise of that glory awaiting us, even now in us, living in us now. That light that's getting ever brighter and ever brighter, and that will finally erupt in that love explosion. The glory will be seen upon us in that love explosion. Upon your people, and they will be sent out. They will be sent out for the very reason that they were sent into this world. The wonderful rescue mission, that wonderful, wonderful harvest awaiting, that's even now ripe in the field. It's ripening right now before us, as ever before us. So thank you, Father. Continue to minister this message so that we will grow in grace and knowledge of your word. That we will indeed be ready because you're making us ready. We have faith in you, not us. We know that if we're not ready, that you will make us ready as long as we are yielded, as long as we are submitted unto you, our God, and obedient unto you. We thank you for all these things in the mighty name above all names, Yeshua, our Messiah, our Savior. Amen.